song has led up to this, including the Rich Mullins tune at the beginning. Oh, it was very, very appropriate. Thank you, Jeffrey and Caitlin, for that. Wonderful. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the experience of seeing your creation, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Charles Spurgeon said, "He that hung upon the cross was the maker of all worlds. He that came as an infant for our sake was the infinite. How low he stooped, how high he must have been that he could stoop so low. All things were made through him. Without him, not anything made was made. Period. Period. This is my Father's world. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit together created this beautiful world." In Genesis 1:1, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." As that first chapter of the Bible progresses, we see over and over again, it's scripture. God separated, God said, God did this, God did that. God's ever present all through creation. Then when he was about to create humanity, which is the crescendo of his creative week, we read, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Us. Creation happened in community. We were created by community. We were created in community, and we are created to remain community. It's all part of God's creative plan. Our Father's world is to be enjoyed in community. Creation is beautiful. And as you know, because you sent us out into it, Kathy and I experienced it up close and personal. And as I was leaving, it was that week because Sue had a crisis the week after I began my sabbatical, as a matter of fact, and Kate Keats called me, and I told her that I was on sabbatical. I told her of the plans and our route, and I mentioned that I probably wouldn't bore people too much with our pictures on Facebook. And she recoiled. I could feel the recoil happen right through the phone. And she said, "Oh, please post pictures. It's one of the only ways I get to travel and see the world." And I knew that I had a charge to keep. So day by day, I would post some photos of where we were, who we'd seen, and what we had experienced. And we realized that lots of people enjoyed our trip right along with us, right along with Kate. They encouraged us on a regular basis to share our Father's world in community. This is our Father's world, and we have it on loan. As a family, we use Airbnb a lot. And we were no different on this trip. Any chance we got, especially when we were staying for more than one night, we tried to use Airbnb over hotels and conventional B&Bs. And let me tell you, Airbnb is a lie, okay? Because there's often no B. Breakfast, okay? There's often, you know, B&B, bed and breakfast, means there's breakfast, and you pay through it for it, through the nose, okay? And with Airbnb, it's just a nice name that somebody came up with. There's not very often breakfast, okay? Which helps, okay? And But an Airbnb is more like home. And one of the ground rules for Airbnb guests is to treat your rental like it's your own home. When Jay and Heather were in India, they had their house as an Airbnb on King Road. And they didn't want people coming in there and treating it. They didn't want it trashed, you know, because it's their own home. And so it's best to treat it like your own home. And that's assuming that guests aren't slobs in their own home. Okay, remember the teacher said, do you do that at home? And lots of times, obnoxious kids would say, yeah, and you could tell, you know. And so, in other words, guests should leave their rental in the same condition that they found it. Our creation is the same way. It's our Father's world, and we have it on loan, and we're to take care of it. We're to enjoy it. And we are to preserve it, and we're to use it. And since all things were made through him, we should hold all things with reverence. The psalmist proclaims, the earth is the Lord's. It's the thought for the day on the front of your bulletin. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I like it in the King James Version. And as we revel in creation, it brings us into a state of worship. And I heard that in that Rich Mullins song. Jeffrey and Caitlin read to us earlier the beginning. Here's the beginning of what they read to us from Psalm 95, and it's from the ESV that I'm reading. Oh, come. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods, God's small g. In his hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains, are his also. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands formed the dry land. This is our Father's world. Even in its ugliness, it's beautiful. This is a mountaintop in my cousin's county where he's a sheriff. And this is above the tree line, and it's so ugly, it's beautiful. That's an expression I've used for years in the desert. Even in its ugliness, it's beautiful. And as you well know, there's much being made these days about climate change. Every new weather pattern is the result of climate change. Sometimes I can't wait for them to blame earthquakes on climate change. Okay? Or the bad week you just had on climate change. Everything is caused by climate change. And I'm being facetious, I'm being sarcastic here, but everything refers back to the fact that humankind has increased its carbon footprint to the extent that the world is warming. And I think a lot of this thinking is the arrogance of humanism. That we think we cause everything and that we can solve everything. I think that's why COVID knocked us out of whack, because they thought, oh, here, we can't do anything about this. And so they hunkered down and made everybody else hunker down too. But I do believe, don't get me wrong, I do believe that climate is changing. For as long as the earth has been here, whether it's thousands of years or millions of years, no matter how long ago God created the earth, God did create the earth. And climate has been changing the entire time. There have been ice ages as recent as the 1500s. There was an ice age happening when Henry VIII was freezing in England. In fact, from the 1950s to the 1970s, there was a mini ice age where temperatures were much cooler. We've often talked about it, how it just doesn't snow anymore like it used to. And that's because, here's the reason. It doesn't snow like it used to, okay? It was a lot colder for upwards of 40 years. Now, Belgium, where the Bulge was, the Battle of the Bulge, it's a cold place. But when the Battle of the Bulge was going on in December of 1944, there was snow and it was super cold. It was part of that ice age that was going on. And this is because climate is ever changing in this wonderful creation. Don't get me wrong. We see God's footprint, handprint, fingerprints. I liked the lady last week used that term. And we do see God's fingerprints everywhere in creation. Because of that, we need to actually take care of our world. We do need to do what we can to conserve. We must do what we can to protect endangered species. We must do what we can to clean up the air and the water. I'm not denying that, okay? That's what we call good stewardship. This is our Father's world, and that means we need to leave it as he created it, like we would leave an Airbnb. If this is our Father's world, then we need to have reverence for it. It's obvious that I have a reverence for creation. I have a reverence for the beauty of the mountains and the deserts and the wildlife. This, just so beautiful. And isn't it amazing how that evolved from an amoeba in primal soup? The fingerprint of God is all over that, okay? I thoroughly enjoy travels anywhere to see what God has created. So today, in the remaining time that we have, and I'll try to get done quicker than when I did last week, I'll talk fast. I'll go from 45 up to 78. Okay. So today I'm going to show you some of the things that Kathy and I experienced by showing you some of the places where we traveled. Now, mind you, I didn't take as many pictures as I would have liked. As I said last week, Kathy doesn't take too kindly to me taking my eyes off the road and my hands off the wheel to snap a quick photo of some beautiful vista or a herd of antelope, okay? If we're piled up in a ditch along the road in the backcountry of Montana, what good are any pictures that I might have had on my phone? So I didn't get as nearly as many great pictures as I have in the past. But Kathy got some good ones, and so we put our heads together. She sent me some of her photos to show you the best of what we could find, and I'll make commentary as I go to share a bit of our Father's world. And that we took a walk every morning, and I noticed our shadow, and we did put our heads together there, and we thoroughly enjoyed being together on this. We had some really good talks about the future and things like that. So Andrew's going to click through them as I lead him on, and I'll try to give you some commentary. Go ahead to the next one. Okay, we had this plan, okay? We had one plan to be in a different worship situation every week. We also wanted to stop and take pictures of every state that we went into. Well, if you do that in Cincinnati, which I already think is the armpit of Ohio, you're going into Kentucky. You've just come across a bridge. If you try to do that, you'll get run over. So we had to. This is one of those times where I'm up over the steering wheel taking the picture. Kentucky, the first state we drove into out of Ohio. By the way, the only rain we had on the entire trip was 2 hours after we left home. Well, just as we are going into Cincinnati, we were in a cloudburst for quite a while. The only rain we had the entire time. Okay, Kentucky, next one here. The next one, we drove into Illinois, okay, over the Mississippi, and that's the Mississippi Bridge, and the next one is a picture of Old Man River. And I was snapping those pictures. We're driving fairly slow, so it was kind of safe. And, okay, the next one here, okay, Airbnb. Airbnb has been a way for farmers to make some money out of an old barn that they have or whatever. Here, this one, they brought a little prefab place in and put it in. This was our first night. It was a wonderful little kind of tiny house in the middle of a farm field near Pocahontas, Arkansas. So I just wanted to show that to you. And that's the car you rented for me. We really got attached to that car. The last one of the last pictures is of the front of that car. I'll show it to you later. Next one. We were on Route 66 a lot, okay? And you know the song. You know, standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona, that's right there where 66 comes through. And so this is right at our hotel. Our hotel was right on Route 66 in Weatherford, Oklahoma. I didn't tell you last week, as we are going towards Thomas, Oklahoma to worship, they had had a huge storm the night before. Power was out everywhere and flooding was happening everywhere. The wettest July that they've had in Oklahoma in many, many, many years. Next one. Okay, within an hour from Thomas after worship service in the afternoon, we were in Texas. And so it's really boring there, just farm country, but I took a picture of it. Kathy was asleep and she didn't know. So next one. Okay, you can't see. If we turn these lights out, maybe you could see, but this is New Mexico. And there were lots of bugs. And so they had to be in the picture too. But that's driving into New Mexico, which is, as you know, I love that state. Next one. This is eastern New Mexico is barren. And then we started getting into the mountains, the hilly, the buttes. And this is some of the what I just think is just so beautiful in New Mexico as we approached Santa Fe. Next one. This was what we saw every day, all day long from our campground. The place had, it wasn't a junkyard, okay? They had all this old equipment around there, and it was wonderful, and I took pictures for Grady. But they are the Sangre de Cristo Mountains that you can see from Santa Fe. Beautiful. The clouds are across it all the time. There's rain happening up there or snow. Okay, the next one. This is Red River, New Mexico, another place that I just really love. It's a beautiful ski area. As you drive in, see the scar up in the middle of the top there? They mine molybdenum there. My brother pronounces it molybdenum, okay? They mined it. They took the top off the mountain. And just really talk about messing up creation. I don't have pictures of that. I have pictures from a previous trip, but that doesn't even look that bad. You ought to see it close up. Next one. Okay, on the way up to that, we always see, and we were ready for it, mountain sheep, Rocky Mountain sheep. And these are, there was no big rams there. These are females, ewes, I guess, and they were there, and they looked ragged, and I thought, is that because of the mining? Because right above it is just this awful scar for miles and miles. Actually, they were just shedding their winter coat, and it was just actually warming up in the beginning of July. Next one. More pictures. I always got sunrise and sunset pictures of these are the Sandia Mountains. Which are towards Albuquerque. Next one. This is from, it was hot. Okay, this is one time when I took a temperature picture. This was in Santa Fe when it was actually hotter than later, but the next one was 109 one time. That was up, I never experienced something. Global warming is happening, okay? It was 90 degrees was a really, really hot day in Aztec, New Mexico, 45 years ago when I lived there. And so 109 degrees is pretty hot. And that's in the sun, okay? Next one. As we approach northern New Mexico, we are just past the road into Navajo Brethren in Christ Mission. There is Huerfano. Tomorrow in Homer's funeral meditation, I'm going to talk about Zithnad Dithley, and you've heard me talk about it before. This is one of the four sacred mountains of the Navajo. Zithnad Dithley means that it's a mountain that never changes. If you could drive all the way through it, around it, and you can, it always looks the same as that. And that's just a landmark for me, and I'm just always happy to see it. You know, it's like coming home. Next one. This is the Animas River. This was 50 yards behind our Airbnb in Aztec. And it was running high. I've not seen the, even when I lived out there, I've never seen the Animas River run that high. Next one. On our morning walk, my hummingbirds at my house know me, you know. And they'll fly up right there next to the feeder when I'm there. These guys, they're really bashful. Bashful New Mexican hummingbirds, but I did get a picture of one. Next one. Just because I like this picture. It's a picture through a window the Aztec ruins. Just because. Next one. Another one, just cloud formations taken up out of the people that lived there when they built this 1,000 years ago would have had a roof, so they would have missed this beautiful view. But anyway, I liked it. Next one. That's not a beautiful view. I'm in it. But the rest of the clouds, and it's once again, the desert is so beautiful, it's ugly. It's so ugly, it's beautiful. Next one. Shiprock. Always have to take a picture of Shiprock. It's a very long extinct volcano that just comes right up out of barrenness. Next one. Irrigation happening. I just liked it. It's a hay field, lots of hay along the Animas River. Next one. There is Angel Peak from the distance. As we are driving south, we are going to look at some ranch land that Overcomers is looking at, and we needed to take a picture of Angel Peak. That's from about 30 miles away. Next one. As we're driving in, this is right at the ranch. I think I had pictures of. I had one picture of that land, and this is the cragginess that we saw as we drove in. Next one. Oh, does anybody know what they are? Yeah, they're shoes, but what's in the shoes? What's stuck in the bottom? Goat heads. They are the scourge of New Mexico. That's why you can't wear flip-flops like this. Andrew could not wear his flip-flops out there. They go right through. I came back in from a walk, and they were all over the bottom of my shoes. I didn't want to bring them to Ohio. Yeah, okay? Next one. Goat heads. They're little thorns. Little seeds with nasty, nasty little prongs on them. And they're like Sputniks, okay? And so no matter where you step on them, you're going to pick it up. So, and they hurt. Next one. That would be better than Legos, okay? On your, okay. This is as we're approaching Wolf Creek Pass in southern Colorado, heading north from Aztec. Just beautiful. Next one. Another picture as we're approaching Wolf Creek Pass. I think I took that one too when Kathy wasn't watching. Next one. Okay. Anybody know what that is? It's a bridge, but what kind of bridge? It's an animal bridge. It's a wildlife bridge across the highway. Yeah. Because the animals migrate, and so they put them in Colorado. Yeah. They take care of their animals, and they like pot in Colorado. So next one. Another picture of the crags. I showed you a picture of that before as my cousin drove us up through the mountain. Next one. That is the North Park of Jackson County, Wyoming. And that's where they raise a lot of, there's a lot of wildlife and a lot of cattle. My cousin tells me that the elk migrate into there in the wintertime. He said it would just look like it was moving because there's so many elk in there. Next one. A picture from the very top of the mountain looking down over that same spot. It was better if you were there. Next one. There we are. We are at... 10,339 feet. The tree line is from 11,000 to 13,5. So we were just below the tree line. And that's the pass into the next county where Steamboat Springs is, if you know anything about Colorado. Next one. If you can see that, and it's just not real clear. But it's called an elephant flower. Elephant flower. Can you see the elephants in that? Growing in a high mountain meadow. Next one. But, you know, look what else grows in a high mountain meadow. Dandelions. My uncle, who grew up in California where they didn't have them yet, he just thought, you know, my dad... His yard was just yellow with dandelions, which drove my dad nuts. Okay, my mom ate them, but my dad hated them. And Uncle Lynn, who founded Navajo Mission, by the way, just thought that dandelions were so beautiful. And they really are. Not when they're in your yard, though. Next one. I'm putting this in because of the resourcefulness. They obviously, they're Pennsylvania Dutch out there. On this side is a yard sale. On the other side, Andrew, is reelect Sheriff Poley. I was out for my morning walk and I thought, oh, you know, I wonder if Jared minds that his sign's being used for a yard sale. Yeah. Next one. This is where we stayed that night. It was one night, so it wasn't Airbnb. It was a hotel. It was called the Antlers Inn. And I've said before that if Miss Kitty and Matt Dillon would have showed up, it wouldn't have looked out of place at all. Okay, motorcycles there. See the motorcycles, a few of them. Everybody was heading towards Sturgis. In South Dakota. And so there were a bunch of rough guys in that hotel with us. Really nice, though. Next one. This is driving, if you've heard of Wind River, this is driving in down through the Wind River Canyon. Just beautiful. Just absolutely beautiful. Once again, a picture does no justice to it. The next one. This is a half mile from Joe and Shay's house. The fire, it was called the Deep Creek Canyon Fire, burned to within a half mile of their house. Their house wasn't there at the time, but there were a lot of houses that went in that fire. And it's blurry because Shay was driving, and so it's a moving shot, you know. Next one, either that or I was shaking. So this is a view from the mountaintop above where Shay and Joe live. This is the mountain they live on, looking across at Mount Baldy or Bald Mountain, something like that. But It looks like it's above the tree line, but I don't think it is. Next one. This was our little Airbnb in White Sulphur Springs, where Joe and Shay, that's their address. And so it's about 23 miles from their house, our little house where we stayed for several days. It was wonderful. Next one. This is the state capitol building in Montana. Beautiful. Usually I go into state capitol buildings. They wouldn't let me, and they must have known I was coming or something. Next one. But I did get a picture of in front of the guy. I'll think of his name. But anyway, the general who was the governor at the time. Next one. Okay, as we are driving into Joe and Shay's, this guy was harvesting grass seed. So the harvest was going on. There's a combine going and harvesting grass seed. Okay, next one. But the harvest was going on elsewhere in Montana. Notice how long that trailer is. You know, it's a 48 foot trailer. So look how long that small grain header is. It's 35 to 40 feet long. Huge fields. Next one. And all over those fields, and there was rapeseed and wheat and all, beehives. Everywhere, beehives. It made me think of the land of milk and honey. Next one is, Kathy has an even better picture of the fields. Talk about white for harvest. They're white with beehives. Next one. We went from there into North Dakota, into the Theodore Roosevelt National Park, and here was a lone buffalo, but there were several hundred in the park, and I think the next picture has a herd that Kathy got a picture of, and that's from a half mile away, probably, at least. When we went for a hike there, Kathy was really worried because we saw lots of hoof prints and other stuff that comes from buffalo, and she was sure that we were going to run into them. And what do we do if we do that? We didn't. It was 3 miles. So next one. This is Theodore Roosevelt National Park. Beautiful, craggy. So ugly, it's beautiful. Next one. And by the way, this is where his ranch was, by the way. On to Lake Superior, where was our next stop, basically, after Theodore Roosevelt. We stayed in Fargo, which was a neat town. And then we drove to the North Shore of Minnesota into the Boundary Waters area. And this was our picture from our Airbnb. Next one. And that's another shot of the lake. It's the largest lake, I think, that all the other lakes can fit inside of Superior. So it's that huge. Next one. We hiked the Gitchigami Trail. You've heard in Gordon Lightfoot's song, he talks about it's named after the Lake Superior, the Chippewa name. We hiked this, and we hiked back into these falls that were back in there. Next one, Andrew. Oh, this is my morning walk. I just saw a grasshopper on a flower. I like those kind of shots. Next one. On the way into the falls, we found this beech tree. It's rooted, that's for sure. Next one. The falls. There. I'm totally blanking on the name of the falls. Next one. Okay, if you're standing with your back to that, you're looking at Worship on the Rocks for Zora Lutheran Church. This is what we had to our back as we worshiped on that morning on the 30th of July. Next one. Driving through, to get there, you have to go through Duluth, and this is the harbor at Duluth. Next one. That is iron ore, because that whole area is known for its iron ore. Next one. That is an iron ore shovel. behind Kathy, not Kathy, but and so you can see how large it is. Next one. 6,400 miles in our little Kia Soul meant about 6.4 million bugs. And that was something to clean off. And I felt like I needed to. I didn't feel like I could take it back to the rental company with that kind of mess on it. And so next one. Our trip is done. The next week, we are at Chincoteague, which is the little island off the coast of the eastern shore of Virginia on the Delmarva Peninsula. Wonderful week there. And so we talked about the seas, we talked about mountains, and here's the sea. Next one. Chincoteague is known for its ponies. Assateague Island is where they mainly are. And in here, they're at the Assateague National Park or seashore. And it's in Maryland. This is in Maryland. They had a lot more horses there. In Chincoteague, they round them up and sell them to help raise funds for the fire department. But there are a lot more in Maryland. Next one. And this is the lighthouse on Assateague Island in Virginia. And that's our family picture. Next one is the front of it. Next one. We're wrapping up here. This was the last week. This was 2 weeks ago, probably today, where we had worked, and the children, Fiona and her cousins had built a fire out back, and it was a beautiful day. By the way, this dog's name is Zeke. And he's not near as cute as the new baby would be. Next one. And you know, when I was a kid, when the missionaries would come, they always had a sunset at the end of their presentation. And so I thought I'd have a sunset. And you know what? This was as we were driving away from Joe and Shay, driving down off the mountain, and Kathy said, "Oh, look at that." And we looked off to our right, and this is what we saw. This is what they get to see. This is why Shay stands out in front of the house and screams into the wilderness, "We live in Montana." This is just beautiful. There we go. That was a sunflower that was right at our camper in Santa Fe. And remember that we have this for you. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and we need to sing "This Is Our Father." Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this world that you've given us. I've tried to show just a bit of it, and I thank you for that. I thank you for this congregation that made it possible, and I bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say that a lot of people, when they find out that my church sent me on a sabbatical, they say, "How do you do that?" Pastors say that. And I posted something about 2 weeks ago being the last weekend of my sabbatical that my church had sent me on, and one brother in Christ leader commented on that Facebook post and said, "I'm really glad that your church does that for you." So thank you. I've tried to share just a slice of what we enjoy because of your generosity. Thank you.